Late one night in 2015, I received an email from Sarah Kaplan, a reporter writing for the Washington Post. She had written around 11 p.m., asking if we could connect before 4 a.m. the next morning. She had read an academic paper about female serial killers in the United States that I had recently published in the Journal of Forensic Psychiatry and Psychology, and she wanted to talk about my findings. As a professor just doing her job, I was surprised but grateful someone had actually read my research. And I was still awake, so I emailed her back around 2 a.m., ready to talk even at that late hour. My phone rang instantly. When I answered, I believe I said something to the effect of, "Wow, it really is you." Reading the impactful journalism that resulted from our conversation was one of the first times I realized just how much interest there is in the topic of serial murder. Then, a few months later, I did an interview with journalist Emily Anthus that appeared in her New Yorker piece, Lady Killers. That's when I really knew how eager people are to learn about the who, what, why, where, and how of serial murder. I did not set out in my career to study murder or serial murder per se. Academic psychologists and psychology students are interested in exploring the many facets of human behavior and mental processes, and I am an evolutionary psychologist with a degree in biopsychology, now frequently called behavioral neuroscience. My research has typically focused on male-female differences in sexual psychology that stem from the vast differences in reproductive biology. My research interests have included attraction, kissing, and declaring love. When I started in this field, I did not foresee a path of research geared at understanding women who perpetrate cruel and barbaric murders of innocent people. Killers, whom researchers have called sadistic human beings devoid of empathy, morality, or conscience. So, how did I end up pursuing this line of study? Years ago, my friend, colleague, and licensed psychologist Tom Bowers of Penn State Harrisburg was studying mass murder with his clinical research team. Since all behaviors and mental processes can be viewed through an evolutionary psychological lens, I partnered with him. In other words, I invited myself into the project because it was so interesting. To collect data and analyze reported triggers for mass murder. We found that almost all mass murders in our sample were perpetrated by men triggered by a status threat. Men went on a murderous rampage because of job loss, economic loss, and being bullied. Read from an evolutionary standpoint, this makes sense. A threat to or loss of status would have had profound reproductive consequences for males in our ancestral environment. In other words, over millions of years of human evolution. We are not, of course, saying that people evolved to kill large numbers of helpless victims. Rather, we attempted to explain the evolved psychological forces that may have played a part in creating such unbridled rage with such tragic results. At the time, I had a student named Erin Murphy taking several psychology courses with me. She was, as I recall, both a criminal justice and a psychology major. Since she knew I was on a team studying murder, she approached me and asked if I would do an independent study with her on serial murder. I said, okay, with no hesitation. The topic was immediately interesting, and Erin, a top student who demonstrated diligence and commitment, was the first to tell me about the paucity of research on female serial killers. When I investigated the topic myself, I corroborated her conclusion. With Tom and Erin's help, I designed a project to collect data about female serial killers who committed their crimes in the United States. Because of the marked lack of empirical, original research on the topic, we attempted to fill in knowledge gaps by collecting broad data on demographics, background experiences, crimes, motives, and victims.